Now turn back with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I'm going to speak tonight on this subject, faith and assurance. Faith and assurance. Now back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's turn back there just a moment. The first few verses of this epistle Paul has written to the Thessalonians, he ties together these two words, or these two experiences, faith and assurance. Faith and assurance. Faith in Christ and assurance of eternal life. Look, if you will, at verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1. Very familiar scripture. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. That's faith. Faith in Christ. I know whom. He didn't say I know what, though he did. He didn't say I know when, though he did. He said, I know whom. The object of faith is Christ. Paul looked to Christ, trusted Christ, believed Christ, loved Christ, rested in Christ. I know whom I have believed. Now listen, read on. And I'm persuaded, I'm assured and confident that he's able to keep forever that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, one being true, the other's true. I know whom I have believed. Therefore, assurance is true. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him. I've committed it to him, trusted him, believed him. He's not going to go back on his word. He's able, willing and able to keep that which I've committed to him. Let's go back and see what Job says about that. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verse 25. Here's those same two principles, same two experiences. Job talking about himself. Job 19, 25. For I knew. I knew. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And Job said, I know who my Redeemer is. I know that my Redeemer lives. He's not a dead Christ, he's a living Christ. And I know he'll stand on this earth at the latter day, upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet I'm confident of this, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. One being true, the other's true. If you've seen him by faith, you'll see him in person. If you believe him, you'll see him when he comes. One being true, the other's true. Cannot be otherwise. Our Lord's word is true. He that believeth on the Son hath life. What God hath begun, that good work which he hath begun in you, he'll finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. All right, let's see what David says about these two experiences, faith and assurance. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. Who is the Lord? The Lord Jehovah. Jehovah God is my shepherd. I shall not walk. That being true, I can't walk. Now, if he's my shepherd, if you've got a two-bit shepherd and a shepherd passing through on a journey, or a huckster, or a thief that cares not for the sheep, well, you can't have any insurance. But the Lord's your shepherd. You shall not want. Want for life, hope, happiness, glory. Read the rest of it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, because he's my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He he's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So, the Lord is my shepherd, surely, that being true, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One being true, the other has to be true, or God is not keeping his word. You see, that's what somebody asked old John Jasper, the black preacher from Richmond, Virginia, back during the Civil War. They said, talked to him about his confidence and assurance in Christ. And they said to him, they said, what if you get up there after you die and they turn you away from the gates? He said, if they do, God's going to lose more than I lose. Oh, that shocked the fellow. He said, how can you say a thing like that? Well, God's going to lose his honor. I'm going to lose my soul, but he's going to lose his glory. Because he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And I believe on the Son. One being true, the other's got to be true. Because God is true. That's right. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when we as believers, do not have assurance and peace, I tell you the reason. It's because we leave the Word of God, we leave the Scriptures, and start looking within ourselves for a reason to have hope. And when you look in yourself, you can't find any reason in this world for which to have hope. You've got to look to him. The Lord's my shepherd. Therefore I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Therefore I shall see God. I know whom I have believed. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him. None of that is found in here. It's all found in the Word of God. You don't have to turn to this, but Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. He said this, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Trust in the Lord with all your, and don't lean not to your own understanding. You trust in him with all your heart, and don't look within yourself for any hope or comfort or assurance, because you won't find it in yourself. You find it in him, in his word. And this, you've experienced this. It's just like when you read, right now, when you're reading the word, like this minute. I've given you the experience of Paul, the experience of Job, the experience of David, and you said, while you're reading it, that's good. I saw you just smile when you read that. When you're reading the Word, and when you're studying the Word, and when you're looking at his promises and reading about his mercy to sinners, you just rejoice. And there's peace, and there's confidence, and there's hope and assurance. But when you get away from the Scriptures, and you start reasoning about this thing, start reasoning within yourself, and looking within yourself, and trying to find some hope within yourself, that's when you're filled with doubts. That's when you're filled with doubts and fears. Leave the Word, you leave assurance. Go to the Word and find assurance. Let me show you a scripture that confirms that. In Hebrews 13, Hebrews chapter 13, it says here in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Now listen to this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, Lord, my helper. How can you say the Lord's your helper? He said so first. If he said it first, I can say it. If he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, then I can say, he's my helper. I won't fear what man can do or anybody else. Because he said it. Therefore, I can say it. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that Brother Dan read a moment ago, it says in verse 13 that, and we're living in these days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's our day. Let me show you a scripture that some of us read Sunday night back in the study. Turn to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. The last chapter of Micah, chapter 7. Now, Paul just said, evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Wickedness prevails. False doctrine abounds on every hand. The enemies of Christ are even found in religious circles. That's our day. Now, let me read you over here in Micah a scripture that sounds like it was just written this morning. Verse 2 of Micah 7. The good man is perished out of the earth. There's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. That's everybody's out to sue people, take all they can get. It's out for themselves. They lie in wait for blood. Verse 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince, that is the king, he asketh for something under the table, a kickback, a rollback. He asks for something. The judge, he asks for something, the reward. It's the executive branch and the judicial branch and the great man, the senator, the congressman, the legislative branch. He utters his mischievous desires. Everybody's taken, taken, taken on the take. So they rack it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright man is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, are we to that place? Don't even trust a friend. I saw the other day on a newscast, a man that went to school with Al Gore, close friend, bosom buddy, and he's written a book about his experiences with Al Gore, and he's bringing out all the dirty laundry that he can find and exposing this man. This happened 30 years ago for money. The king wants a ransom. The judge wants a ransom. The senator wants one. You're free. Don't you even trust a friend? If he gets mad, you write a book about you. Don't really trust not in a friend. That's 2000, isn't it? Put no confidence in a teacher, a guide. Don't put confidence in him. Now, he'll betray you in this generation. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. Here's two people are married, love each other, have a baby or two, and then they fall out. And then they start saying awful things about one another. Awful things. Everything you whisper in her ear, she's going to tell. Think about that. Can't even tell your own. Can't trust your own wife. That's unbelievable, isn't it? The son dishonors the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter against her mother-in-law. Man, enemies are men of his own house. What do we want to do? The next verse. I tell you, look where you ought to be looking all the time. I look to the Lord. I wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He's the only one you can trust. Not yourself, Anybody else? Now, that's not said of believers. You trust believers. Trust believers. It's a horrible prophecy, isn't it? But it just rings so clear in this day. Look at verse 14. All right, verse 13. Evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things. Now, here's three things here. Look at this. You continue in the things which you've learned. What have you learned? What have you learned? Well, you've learned it's not by works of righteousness which we're saved, but according to his mercy. We've learned that, haven't we? You've learned that he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We've learned that. Now, you continue in that. In the things which you've learned. Continue in God's wondrous grace in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter the extremism of the day or the departure from truth or evil men waxing worse and worse, you just continue in the things you've learned. By God's grace and mercy in the crucified Redeemer. Stay with it. And hast been assured. You've learned these things and been assured of them. Assured of them. The salvation's of the Lord. That you're confident of it. You believe that? You know that's true. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We've learned that. We're assured of that. There is no other message. Knowing of whom you learned it. Of whom do we learn? God taught us. He said that to Peter. He said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. We believe and assure that the Christ, the Son of God. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that in school. My Father taught you that. And they shall all be taught of God. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, as it is written, they shall all be taught of God. And he that hath been taught and learned of God, you come to me. So in this day of horrible atrocities of heart and mind and spirit, with evil men and seducers wax worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, just continue in the things that you've heard. Continue in the gospel. Don't be sidetracked. Don't look for something new. Continue. These things you've been assured of. Confident. Knowing of whom you learned them. Of God. Of God. You know, Paul said over here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for which cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You continue in the things you've heard and been assured. So, knowing of whom you learned them. Now look at the next verse. And Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now Paul's not saying that Timothy was saved as a child, but what he's saying here is this, from his early youth, his earliest years, the scriptures were present in his home. His mother and his grandmother were believers. And the word of God was read and taught to him. The word of God, which is the seed and the means and the foundation of saving faith. Even from a little child, as our children here, back there in that class, over here in this class, back in those classes, the seed of the word of God. Some of you older ones, you started out as children. This word, Now, men are not wise of themselves, but the Scriptures are able to make them wise. That's what he's saying about from a child. You continue in those things that you've learned. You've heard, knowing of whom you learned them, God. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. It's the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Men do not know sin, and they do not condemn themselves. But the Scriptures reveal their sins, and that's when they repent and condemn themselves. Men do not know who Christ is, his glorious person and work, but the Scriptures reveal who Christ is. The Scriptures teach us about his person and work. The Scriptures reveal to us his mercy and grace. Even so, the Scriptures give us assurance and confidence of the hope and peace in Christ Jesus. That's where you get it. You learn who God is from the Scripture. You learn who you were from the Scriptures. You learn who Christ is from the Scriptures. You learn his blood and righteousness through the Scriptures. You learn his mercy and grace through the Scriptures. And you learn his keeping, preserving mercy through the Scriptures. From a child, that's known the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this next verse. And all Scripture is given to us by inspiration of God. That word is all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is God-breathed. God-breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God to write the Scriptures. All Scripture, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable. Now listen to this. It's profitable for doctrine. Teach us the doctrine of God, doctrine of the fall, how sin came into the world, the doctrine of God's covenant mercies in Christ, the doctrine of salvation, eternal life. The Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. For reproof, what is reproof? To reprove error, to reprove heresies, to reprove false doctrine. Like Paul said, they'll come preaching another gospel. Well, you need the Scriptures to reprove heresies and error and false gospel. For correction, what's correction? Correcting us in our walk. Correcting us in our attitude. Correcting us in our practices. Correcting us in all things in which we need correction. For instructions in righteousness, instructions, our duties to man, our duties to our families, to our children, to the people for whom we work, our duties in the church, for instruction in righteousness, and also for assurance and peace. Turn to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. This is what the Scripture says. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, this being so, then the next thing, so we have peace with God. That's what the Scriptures teach. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through our deeds and works and morality and own personal doings, it's through Christ. By whom? By Christ. Also, we have access into this grace, into this standing, this righteousness, this acceptance, into the presence of God, into the throne room. Come boldly before the throne. God has prepared and opened for us a new and living way into the presence of God. Being justified by believing on Christ, we have peace with God. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture says. And when we're reading that and when we're saying, well, let me ask you this. Let me give you an illustration here. Turn with me to John 11. John chapter 11. I like this illustration very much. I've given it to you before, but not on this subject. Lazarus had died. And our Lord stayed down in wherever he was for 2 or 3 days. They buried Lazarus. He'd been lying in the tomb 4 days. And Christ came back to Bethany. And his sister Martha ran out to meet him. Lazarus' sister Martha. She ran out to meet him. Verse 20, John 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, she ran and met him. Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But she said, I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Our Lord said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not a doctrine. It's not a creed. It's a person. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, that's Lazarus, or living, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, you, and believeth on me, will never die. You believe this? She'd been telling him what she believed, you know. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. I believe that. Even now, I believe that whatever you ask of God, he'll give you. He said, well, he'll rise in the resurrection. I believe that, too. Martha, he said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I'm salvation. I'm redemption. I'm God. He that believeth on me will never die. Never die. You believe that? Now, let me ask you and I something. You and me. All have sinned. I believe that. You believe that? I do. I believe that. All have sinned. I don't have a problem with that. There's not a righteous man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All right, secondly, Christ came into the world to save sinners. I believe that. You believe that? I don't have a doubt in my mind about that. I believe Christ came to save sinners. I believe Christ Jesus walked this earth and perfectly loved and obeyed God in every jot and tittle. Providing perfect righteousness for somebody. I believe he died on the cross and shed his blood for sinners like me. He buried and rose again, ascended to the right hand of God where he ever makes intercession for somebody. You believe that? I don't have a doubt in my mind about that. Let me ask you this. He said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and shall never come into condemnation. You believe that? Why do you believe the rest of that? God told you. Why don't you believe this? God told you this. He that believeth on me shall never come into condemnation. He's already passed from death to life. Same scripture, same God, same covenant, same Savior. But somebody might say, well, you know, assurance is presumption. Is it presumption to take God at his word? Is that presumption? Well, presume on. That's the best compliment you can pay somebody, is to believe him. Especially in this day. Honestly believe him. Just believe him. It's not presumption to take God at his word. It's never wrong to believe God. It's never a presumption to say with Paul, listen, you know what he said standing on that sinking ship? He said, sirs, I believe God. It shall be exactly as he told me. So be of good cheer. I believe it. No matter how dark it gets, or how dark I feel, my feeling doesn't have anything to do with what he promised. That's right. One being true, the other has to be true. He that believeth on the Son hath life. That has to be so. Can't be otherwise. All right. Let's go back to that scripture and look at something else here. Verse 17, that the man of God, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, for assurance and confidence and strength and faith, and that the man of God might be perfect, might be mature, that he might grow in grace, that he might be complete, well fitted and supplied with grace, freely furnished unto all good works, that he might be furnished of God for the ministry God's given him. Now, if I don't have assurance, if I don't have confidence in the Word of God and confidence in my Savior, how can I witness? If I believe him and doubt that I'm saved, how can I tell anybody else to believe him? You see what I'm saying? How can I possibly tell my children to believe God if I doubt that he saved me? You see what I'm saying? How can you comfort somebody? Here's a person dying, and you're going to comfort them and tell them that we have a good hope in Christ. Do you have a good hope in Christ? Then how can you tell him to have a good hope if you don't? You have assurance? You cannot witness, you cannot comfort, you cannot encourage, you cannot exhort, you cannot preach if you cannot rest in Christ. Isn't that right? If he's not to be trusted by me, then I'm not going to tell my children to trust him. That's what the Word says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over here a minute. This is so important right here, what I'm going to give you right now. So important. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, God of all grace, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our trials, all our dark days, all our doubts and fears, all our ups and downs, all our failures and successes, and all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm passing on to you what he told me. And it's easy. If I was trying to get you to do certain things because I do them, I'd just say, let's go home. But I'm doing my best to get people to look to Christ, because he never fails. He never failed me. He's never failed any of his children. He's never forsaken. He said, I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always. I'll never forsake you. So I can say, I can tell you the same thing. That we may be able to comfort with the same comfort wherewith we've been comforted. That's it. That we may be able to encourage with the same encouragement from which we've been encouraged. All right, in closing. So in verse chapter 4, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. There's no season for preaching the word. There's a season. Just preach the word, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and darkness and doctrine. Listen, it's the word of God that reveals God in his glory. It's the word of God that convinces men of sin. It's the word of God by which Christ is revealed. It's the word of God through which faith comes. It's the word of God by which we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And it's the word of God which comforts the believer's heart and soul.
Now, everybody's not going to believe. That's true. Verse 3 says the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn away their ears from the truth. Turn to fables. But you watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Faith and assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. How do I know? He said so. Then I shall not want. That being true, this is true. I know my Redeemer liveth. That being true, in my flesh I'll see God. That's true. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you. It was to me. All in the world I'm doing tonight is just driving all of us back to the Word. That's not just the Word. That's the foundation of faith, is the Word of God. All right, Mike.